for reference, and sometime during this week, read these scripture readings which the early church chose to be read on this Sunday. I want to move directly to the theme for today about how Christ changes things. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that change with circumstances. Let's say, for instance, that there's illness in the home. That changes everything. It changes the conduct. It changes the attitudes. It changes the moods. You can have other things, losing a job, losing income for whatever reason or not. A matrimonial, a marriage difficulty, maybe a divorce is going on, something like that. These can change all the moods and all the feelings in any family and in anyone's life. So there are circumstances, company coming, that changes everything. There can be a death in the family, that changes everything. We all know how things can change, but the one thing, and that's a theme that we want to get across this morning. As a matter of fact, not only today, but also next Sunday, I divided my message into two things. I worked on seven different people in the Bible. Some are not as well known as others, but seven different people whose lives were radically changed by their relationship with Christ. We're going to talk about three of them today, and then next week we're going to talk about four others. One of them, well-known, St. Paul and his conversion. The other two, Bartimaeus, I don't think is anywhere near as well-known. We're going to also be talking about a man from the tomb. Maybe you can figure out who that's going to be. And today we're going to be talking about several. I'm going to start with St. Peter. Now, Peter, you probably know a few more things about Peter than you do about St. Paul, but I think it's good for us to reflect and just see how his relationship with Christ affected Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord. And I want to start by saying, you know, Peter was not well known at first. In fact, Andrew was the brother, was Peter's brother, and Andrew knew Christ. It was through Andrew that Peter came to know about Jesus. And you remember in the New Testament it says, Andrew came to Peter and said, Peter, you have to come with me to meet. I've met the Messiah. I know who the Messiah is, and I want to introduce you to him. And so actually it's because of his brother Andrew that Peter actually came to know who Jesus was. And you remember Peter, kind of a strong-willed, you'd call him a type A personality. He usually ended up doing the speaking for the other disciples. He was usually, and whenever there was a sermon to be preached, it was almost always Peter that would do the preaching. And so his entire life changed because of Jesus Christ. I'm thinking, you know, that everyone here this morning, every one of us needs to examine what is our relationship with Jesus on a personal basis. Now, we would all say that we confess him to be the Lord and Savior, and we would all say that as Christians we believe him to be the Savior of the world. But in a personal way, in a more individual way, how has he affected or changed your lives? That's what I want to have us be thinking about this morning. I have a couple notes here to run through the life of Peter. 3.5 years, Peter was with the other disciples as they actually lived with Jesus. They actually traveled as a group. And so morning, noon, and night, he would hear what Jesus had to say. He would hear the teachings of Jesus. He would hear the sermons that Jesus preached. He would see the miracles that Jesus did. He was an observer for 3.5 years of Jesus, and you would think that in that 3.5 years, his life would have been so solidly based on Jesus and so firmly convicted and convinced of the teachings of Jesus that he would kind of be above temptation. Well, as you know, that didn't work out that way. And you recall that as Jesus, the time of his, when he was taken captive and the trial and things like that, Peter kind of caved in. And this is a good lesson for us. As a matter of fact, the scripture says when you think you're real strong, the chances are you're in danger of falling because you have too much confidence in yourself instead of trusting in God. And the proud are just so endangered because of their own pride. And no doubt Peter thought he was a pretty strong follower, and yet he became very afraid, you recall, as Jesus was being put on trial and everything, how terribly he fell. They had, I don't know what you call them, cauldrons or bonfires or whatever you call them, but all around the buildings in those days, they would have outside fire pits. And these would be used in the early evenings when things might have been damp and kind of moldy, so to speak. They'd light these fires, and the people would sit around those. And a lot of times they'd have their lunch there. And so Peter, not wanting to be recognized, he was afraid. He thought that all the disciples were going to end up being captured and tortured and probably killed. And so he wasn't very bold. He was, as a matter of fact, very frightened. So he kind of sneaks in, kind of in the background, and he sits down somewhere and thinks he's going to just get warmed by the fire and have an enjoyable evening and not worry about too much, when all of a sudden, one of the maid girls that's working around the area recognizes him and says, aren't you one of his disciples, this Jesus? Aren't you one that follows him and kind of is always around with him? Oh, no, Peter says. You remember the scripture makes it clear that Peter denies even knowing Jesus. I don't even know who he is. I'm certainly not one of his followers. You've got the wrong guy. It's not me. Well, then you recall someone else identifies him, and he gets into more and more of a jam because he's being spotted. And he emphatically denies it. I don't even know the guy. And so three times this disciple of Jesus says, I'm not one of his followers. You certainly got the wrong guy. And I don't even know who he is. And Peter denies his Lord. You remember shortly after that, there are all sorts of buildings connected with these headquarters. And from one building to another, there's usually a little terrace or some kind of a balcony or some kind of an opening. Very beautiful construction back in those Mideastern days. And Jesus is being taken from one building to another building. And you remember the scriptures say Peter is down in the courtyard. He probably is somewhere very near where that fire was. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes across one of the balconies where there's an opening to the courtyard. And Jesus turns and looks straight at Peter. You remember how the scriptures say that the eyes of Peter met the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus gave him a look. What a look that must have been of sorrow and pity and maybe a look we can't even hardly even describe it. And Peter saw immediately, oh my goodness, I have denied my Savior. And the text simply says, Peter went out. It means he left the area, he left the building, and he wept. He found a private spot and wept. What have I done? I've denied my Savior. And he repented. Thank goodness he repented. Through my life, there have been times, especially when I was younger, we aren't as bold. We get bolder. You've probably noticed that about me, too. The older you get, the bolder you get. You figure you've been around a while. You should be a little stronger in your faith. You should be more committed. And I think we stand up more. We don't let other people intimidate us quite as much as when we're younger. And this is obviously what was happening. Peter's whole life was changing. He was becoming more bold. And when Jesus looked at him with that look, and it seared him right down to his heart where he knew he had to repent, he went out and he repented. Well, from then on, things began to really change in Peter's life. And the next meeting that he had with Jesus, I think that's a beautiful meeting that Jesus had, because Jesus could have scolded him and said, you know, after 3.5 years, you should have known what I had to say and teach, and you should have seen the miracles. You should have been stronger than you were, Peter. What's the matter with you? Well, Jesus did not reprimand him at all. In fact, he didn't even bring it up, but he used a very curious way to bring it to Peter's mind. I love that dialogue between Jesus and Peter, because Jesus just asked him 3 times, not twice or once, but 3 times, and Peter immediately recognized, oh boy, he's reminding me that I denied him 3 times. I denied him 3 times. And 3 times Jesus just said to him, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? I preached on this some years back, and I remember that the Greek words here that Jesus used were different. The first word was kind of like, how do you like your car? You know, do you love your car? Do you love that tree? You know, kind of a plain, common word. And then each time Jesus asked him, the word in Greek was more intense and more personal. Like, do you love me? I mean, do you really love me? Do you really love me above everything else? Jesus was really bearing in on him, and Peter keeps responding, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart, Lord. You know I love you. And then, of course, finally, Peter understood. Jesus was giving him, in his repentance, a time to rededicate himself and say, Lord, I love you above everything else. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. And so any personal contact with Jesus is going to ultimately change your life forever. That's the point this morning. If you haven't been personal with Jesus, and of course to do that, you have to be in God's Word. I guess one of the most frustrating things about the ministry, I can remember visited church, and they brought up Pastor Martin's name over by St. Luke's Hospital. It was Grace Lutheran Church. It's still kind of in the vicinity there near the hospital, about a half a block away, but it was right next to the hospital back 10, 20 years ago. And Pastor Martin was a very close friend of mine, probably one of the closest of the pastors around. He's now in heaven. But they mentioned him, and it brought back memories to me, because a very humble man, very, very, not very aggressive, not very strong in terms of his personality, just a wonderful, nice, peaceful guy, and the sort of guy that you can imagine Peter was, until his whole life changed. And now he became very, very bold. For instance, right after this occasion, we come to Pentecost in the New Testament. And guess who's doing the preaching? Of course, Peter. Peter is now the preacher. And he's delivering a powerful message. His whole life has been changed because of his confrontation with Jesus. And that's what should be happening to you and me. When Peter, along with the other disciples, were martyred, and the Romans and the enemies of Christ said, you're going to be crucified, Peter said, please, don't crucify me way Christ was crucified. I'm not worthy. I shouldn't even be called one of his servants, one of his disciples. If you're going to crucify me upside down. And so tradition, the history of that time, says that when they crucified Peter, they crucified him upside down, head down, feet up. And I just felt it was good to review a little bit about Peter today. Let's look at another one. This one, we don't know her name. The woman at the well of Samaria. You remember it was midday. The disciples had been traveling. They'd gone a ways, and of course, it's always by foot. No doubt the sun was up a little bit somehow that day, and they were warm and hot and dusty and dirty. And so before going into town, they stop at the well, which was usually just outside of town. By the way, some of those wells are still there. I have pictures of them in my picture collection of seeing the well of Samaria, where Jesus had this exchange and this dialogue with this woman. What was this woman doing there? You remember it wasn't the right time. The women of the village would always come down early morning. Sometimes even, I would imagine, some of them got there even before the sun rose. But not this woman, because she was a disgraced woman. She had been married 5 times, the scriptures tell us. And the woman, and Jesus pointed this out to her, woman, and the man you're living with right now isn't even your husband. And of course, she was very shocked. Who is this prophet? He knows everything about me. And she began to see, this is the Messiah. Well, this woman, they had this dialogue about the water. You come here, you get water every day. And yet you have to come back the next day because that water doesn't satisfy you long enough. Well, if you had the water that I offer, the spiritual water that I offer, you would never thirst again. You remember that dialogue? And so this woman's whole life was immediately changed by her contact with Jesus. And she knew that her sins were involved here, but they were forgiven by this Messiah, by this Jesus. And so her whole life changed. She now became very bold for the Lord. She didn't care if the other women saw her now. So she went back into town, and it says she told everybody that she saw. She probably went door to door, even, for all we know, telling people, the Messiah is here, the promised one has come, we have a Savior, and telling everyone who would listen about Jesus. So that's how her life was changed. Now I have one more to referred to here this morning as how Jesus changes lives. His name is Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus started out as a very, very fearful disciple of Christ. He was in the upper legions of the leadership and well known, and everybody knew who he was by sight. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, by the way. It would be like the Supreme Court judge. Everybody knew who he was. And so he wanted to follow Jesus, but he was afraid to. What will the people think? And what will the other Jews think of me? And especially since I'm in a position of leadership. So it says in the scripture that he went to Jesus at night, kind of sneaking around so that no one would know that he was talking to Jesus. And it is in that dialogue that we come to the words that are so often used with Christianity today, the words born again. It was in that dialogue that Jesus had with Nicodemus that he tells Nicodemus, in order to be saved, you must be born again. And every time I use those words, I want to point out to you how redundant they are so often in the Christian church today. You even have Christians that say to one another, are you a born-again Christian? That's such a stupid statement. It's a redundant statement because to use the words as Jesus used them, every Christian is born again. It's talking about the physical birth, which everyone is born into the physical family of people, but the spiritual birth, the second birth, born again, is what is referred to. So there is no such thing as a Christian who is not born again. Every person that is a Christian has been born again spiritually. That's another word for conversion. Now, I know what people mean when they say that. Are you a born-again Christian? They mean to say, are you truly, really, definitely, firmly a Christian? Well, then why don't they say that instead of using the words born again? Because born again, if you're converted, you've been born again. Now, a lot of times the charismatic groups use that word to kind of distinguish as though they're a new, kind of a higher breed of Christian. That's such nonsense. It's totally the wrong emphasis. What born again means, are you, has your heart been changed from a person of the world to a person of Christ? Are you a member of Christ's family? And of course, Nicodemus was. And Nicodemus, you recall, he got a little more courage. We're told later on in Scripture, he's the guy that stood up in the Sanhedrin and spoke up for Christ. So even among his fellow court members, he became more bold after he had this confrontation with Christ. And he spoke up. It was Nicodemus who came after Christ had died on the cross and asked for the body. And you remember the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He and Nicodemus ended up burying Jesus in Nicodemus's tomb. And so that's kind of a little review of Nicodemus, of the woman at the well, and of St. Peter. I hope you will take this little review this morning to ask yourself, how am I doing in my relationship with Jesus? Is it just on kind of a casual relationship, or am I getting intimate with him? Do I have personal dialogue with him? Am I the type of child of his that my whole life is changed because of Jesus? Amen.